Lord has been gracious to us. He's kept us safe up to this point of time. We're depending on Him to get us through this evening and on through the night and the rest of our journey here. He's able. He's worthy to be praised.
Amen.
And it's a privilege to be here among God's people in this part of the country. I prayed all the way up the road, and I'm prayed to the very last second for this blessing. That God, as I often mention, would grant a miracle. The miracle of preaching.
Amen.
And the miracle of receiving His Word. The Holy Spirit has to act in both instances. Without that, it's nothing more than just a good social hour. Which is not a bad thing.
Right.
But the Lord has much for us than that. We have the Word of God before us. We've been blessed to have it in this free land. And the Lord has sent preachers to preach to us.
Amen.
Titus says, as I often repeat, in hope of eternal life. And a God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due time manifested His Word through preaching.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer. If I get up here and tell you all that I know, which wouldn't take long, I could do that. I could pin down some theological notion of mine. I could do that. I could add a little tears with it. I could add a little emotion. And it may be a good speech. But I'm totally convinced that if the Lord allows a man to preach, it's not just for him to preach, but it's for a receiver here.
Amen.
Whether one or the whole congregation.
Amen.
And that's I hope that is the case tonight.
Amen.
My mind has jumped. It has went here and yonder. It's like I said, I'm from the most southern point of Virginia. I try to keep my southern slang at bay, but it's coming out. So get ready for it. But I will try to pronounce my words a little more correctly, maybe, that you'll understand. But I do know this. I'm glad.
That's all right.
I'm glad to be here. Because the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
If you have your scriptures, turn them to Psalm chapter 12. I hope you have them. And if you're not a Bible reader, I would encourage you to become one.
Amen.
Because it's a great blessing in His Word. David says in Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever."
Amen.
The Apostle Paul asked this question in Romans chapter 3 about verse 8. What's the difference between the Jews and the other folks? This is my words. I'll get you close. You look it up when you get home. The Apostle Paul said, Chiefly, you know, he says in that previous chapter, the last verse, that he's not a Jew anymore outwardly, but now inwardly. And then the question is raised, what's the difference? And Paul says this, chiefly.
Yeah.
Now, I'll get these words wrong, girl. You'll help me later.
Yeah.
I'm going to get them close. Because unto us is committed the oracles of God.
Amen.
In other words, they were a people of Abraham's seed. That the Lord committed. He didn't just cast the word out like bird seed, everybody to grab. He committed the natural Jews, the laws that the Lord would give on Mount Sinai, the law of Moses.
Right.
And it was committed unto them.
Right.
And all they wrote them, they rewrote them, they kept them, they tried to learn. The Apostle Paul said, I serve God from my youth.
Right.
He said, I was zealous of God because it was something committed to me that I took very seriously.
Right.
So after all these other things, but chiefly, because we have the ark, we've been committed, the oracles of God. David is saying here, the words of the Lord are pure words. That means without contamination.
Amen.
I had a young man email me the other day and said, I think there's a contradiction in the Old Testament and the New Testament about fear. I said, well, I don't know exactly where you're coming from, brother, but I'll guarantee you this. There's no contradiction in the Word of God.
Right.
The only contradiction is in us.
Right.
Because when God said that His words are pure, that's what it means. It doesn't mean pure like we try to make pure. David is saying the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times.
Yes.
So these words are a great blessing for us.
Amen.
Here today. And I think David right there is referring to not only the word itself, but I think it's referring to this written word, because the word in heaven, First John 5, somewhere there, says there's three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. None of that needs preserving. That word does not need preserving. That's God in the flesh. That's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself.
Correct.
John says in John chapter 1, the Word, maybe John, 1 John 1, maybe the Word. I've got to slow down. I sure am happy to be here, and I do love you. And I'm here to help you. And I certainly don't need to help Brother Gary. I don't need to have some big teaching of something your pastor's not doing. No, that's the reason I'm here. The Lord says in the later part of Matthew's that with desire, I desire to eat this Passover with you.
Yes.
Jesus had a desire to eat this final Passover and to put it all, everything in place of the old law and start the new kingdom in a symbolic way there. And He said, I've had a desire, with great desire, I've desired to eat this Passover. So the reason I'm here tonight, children of God, is because I've desired to see you. And I pray the Lord will bless me to preach.
Amen.
John said, that which was the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of Life, capital W. That's the Lord Himself, I'm telling you.
Amen.
For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you.
Amen.
That you also may have fellowship with us, and that truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And then He says this.
Yeah.
He repeats what Jesus says. You remember when the old devil was questioning Jesus, if you'll bow down to me, if you want this, just do this. He'll set a trap for you, children of God. You youngers listening, old folks too. Don't think because we got old that we don't. Look, we're the same people young as we were old. This is for all of us. The devil will set a trap for us. And I'm telling you, you know, I've got a, where I read on the front porch, there's a spider that comes and builds a nest. And builds a big web. I've got a screened-in porch where I sit and read in the summer days. And he's there now. He was up high, so I'm not going to bother him. No, if he gets too close now, one of us is going to have a talk. But the women spiders do all the work, by the way. I know that. Not the men. But the next day, she's just moved outside. She's gathered all her stuff up and she's gone. Listen, children of God. Jesus says, I don't know why that popped in. Jesus told the old... I know why it was, because the devil, he'll set a trap for you. Look, I'm thinking, where did this... I said, Gay, did you... My wife, Gay, did you get rid... Did you take a broom and get rid of the spider? No. And I looked, and she was over here outside. She's setting a trap. Every day, she gathers that net up and lets it back out. And that's what the devil will do. Listen, but we've got words here written. Not only is Hebrews chapter 10, not only is the law written in our mind and in our heart, and not only is Romans chapter 10 tells us to renew our mind daily with the things of God and not be conformed with this world. We've got the oracles of God that most people didn't have.
Amen.
Or don't have today.
Exactly.
And I think we've got a whole lot of the truth. We don't understand it all, but it's not because the words of the Lord are not perfect.
Amen.
Jesus says to old Satan, as it is written.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's pinned down. As it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. As it is written, thou shalt not serve any other. As it is written.
Yes.
We have the written word of God.
Amen.
And that's what John will say here. And these things write we unto you.
There you go.
That your joy might be full.
Right.
Aren't we blessed? to have this word before us.
Sure will.
Listen, children to God. And they're pure words.
Yes.
It's not a mistake. It's not a comma out of place. I read the writers of old that had much less of the technology that we have today. They were much deeper in the Word of God than we could have imagined. The Word of God that's been preached out of this King James for 400 years. You don't need another one. Don't dress it up. I think it's preserved. The words of the Lord are preserved. Who preserves them? I think Peter or John says, maybe Paul, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I've often said this. Have you ever noticed that it doesn't say by the inspiration? You can't describe God with a "the." That's us. It says all Scripture are given by inspiration from God, and they're profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that the man of God may be truly furnished to all good perfect works, as it is written. So we see here, children of God, that the Word is not only sitting in heaven. The Word not only was here in the body, but the Word is written in our hearts, in our minds, according to Paul, in other places. But we have the Word here. I think that's what David is talking about here. And the reason I think that is because he said, "Thou shalt preserve it, O Lord, forever." Now, the Word of the Lord that he sent to the hearts of his children don't need preserving on his end, but it needs preserving on our end. Because the Scriptures of the old and the new, it says on one occasion, there's a blessing or a curse. If we keep the laws of God the best that we can, there's a blessing and a curse if we don't. So we know, children of God, that the merciful God of heaven endureth forever.
Amen.
I think David here, I reckon David wrote it. I wouldn't argue with you about it. Maybe it says David.
It does.
The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace, purified seven times.
Sure.
You know, the Apostle Paul told this young preacher Timothy some pure words.
Amen.
He says in the second epistle to young Timothy, that Timothy, he calls Timothy his beloved son.
Yeah.
Now, he wasn't his natural son, but that was a commitment to him and to the ministry. They're just like my son. That's pure words.
Right. Amen.
The minister would be so much better off if we could remember that we are sons,
yeah,
brothers together.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul says, Timothy, I've desired to see you. When I think about the tears, and he talks about the desire to see him, and then he says all these pure words in those first 13 verses. The words there that you could defend your faith with just those 13 verses. It tells us all about a whole lot of stuff. The pure words that are written. He says, let me turn to it, because Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son,
yeah,
grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
That's pure words.
Amen.
It's not contaminated.
Absolutely.
The world may tell you they can give you peace. It cannot.
Nope.
The world naturally can offer us a lot of good things. We need substance. We need money. We need houses. We need cars. We need a lot of stuff. But the joy and the peace that Paul is talking about here comes from that pure word of God.
Amen.
And it's not contaminated.
Right.
It will give you peace when you're up. It'll give you peace when you're down. It'll give you peace when you're all around. And the word of the Lord will do that, children of God. Not only in your heart, but also we can call to remembrance by reading this word. And I can prove it by these two women that's in these first 13 verses of 2 Timothy,
sure,
the first chapter. He said, I thank God,
mm-hmm,
whom I serve for my forefathers. That's pure. Paul saying, listen, I know I'm not what I used to be, but somebody said, I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. The Apostle Paul said, the God of mercy, by grace of God, I am what I am. Paul writes to the church of Ephesus, the pure words that we seemingly have said on the railroad track and don't even hear the train anymore.
Yeah.
Look, Paul would say to the church at Ephesus, you didn't call on the Lord. He called you. Amen. That's what Timothy's going to say. That's pure words. That's not contaminated words of men's wisdom.
Right.
He says, listen, the Lord chose you. That's what Timothy will learn, these pure words right here. The Lord will tell us in Romans chapter 8, 28. Have we heard these pure words too much? Listen, a piece of gold is right here. It's the same piece of gold if you have to run over here for it. You know, we have a lot here, children of God, that I, in my 64 years, have found out that, oh, I could have had the pure gold. I've just settled for the little rock. You know, if the bank calls and says, Jamie, we've got $1,000. And I'll guarantee you, people say, are you any kin to the John Hancock? I say, yes, I think I am. I have no idea. But I know this. He didn't leave me none of his money, I'll tell you that. If a bank called and said, look, we've got two boxes down here, Jamie. One's got $1,000, one's got $10,000. Just get to one that you want. And I went down and made my choice, come back. Someone asked, how you doing? Oh, I got $1,000 here. They might not say it, but they'd be thinking, that dude needs some help, a lot of help. We've got more than just a little fuzzy book here. We have the Word of God. Amen. That the more we read it, the more it will help us through this time. And Amen. That's what he's telling Timothy here. Amen. Now listen, I know it's a separation. I know the Word of God visits in our mind and our hearts. But I'll tell you right now, Church of God, this Word is a great blessing.
Amen.
And it's a pure Word.
Amen.
And that's what Timothy, Paul is telling Timothy in his second epistle here. He said, I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers, and with pure conscience, that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night.
Right.
Greatly desire to see thee and be mindful of thy tears, that I might be filled with joy. Put the Facebook up for a little while and remember the brothers and sisters. Put, like Brother Ricky says, put the Facebook up, put the Wastebook up. If you have leisure time, take some of that time and remember the brothers and sisters. That's the pure Word. That's what we need. If we've ever needed it, children of God, if our children have ever needed it, I can remember my grandmother, and I often talk about her cooking them old white potatoes when we're 16 and a half and she was living with us. It was a pure soul in that woman, I'm telling you, and it come from God. And we learned from her. We felt the Spirit in her. She sang and she cooked. That's pure Word. So Paul is saying, listen, without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day.
Yeah.
Oh, may we remember children of God more. May we serve the Lord more. May we say, Lord, when the feet hits our floor in the morning, Lord, help me. Help me to be a help to someone and not a hurt. Lord, help me, as Brother Charles has already prayed. Lord, help me to serve thee better than I did yesterday.
Amen.
Because you know what? That's the wonderful thing about the God of heaven. Every second is a new, brand new second.
Amen.
What's happened back there, you can't help.
No.
You may have to stand for the consequences,
sure.
But you can move forward.
Amen.
Because the Lord has given us that. This is pure words. David says, the word of the Lord is pure words. Not words of men's religious ideas.
No.
Not man's big oracles of what they think God may be. We know what God is. Nobody knows what He is, but we know what He is. The greatest thing that we can imagine. And it has no beginning, it has no end.
Amen.
Well, I don't understand that. Well, I don't understand electricity either.
Right.
How many times have I said that? I don't understand my car that I rode up in here. I don't understand how this controlled explosion does this time and time, and I just smooth on up the mountain. I don't have to understand it to believe it. But the Word tells me, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So I believe it, and I don't understand it. How about that?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I'm
and I believe the last words that Jesus wrote, that John recorded in Revelation, as it starts out, children of God, about His Word. He says, if anybody asks you this book or takes away from it, it ain't going to be good, children of God. Because He didn't have this Word for us just to have it. or just to have it sitting on the coffee table, or just to take it and leave it. This is a lifeline. I've often said, and I'm going to repeat everything that I've always said. I've been coming up here 14 to 15 years. When my daddy was wounded in France, bear with me, I got to say it again. And when my mama went to the mailbox, wanting a letter from daddy, my daddy, before we was ever born, children of God, when she went to that mailbox, if there was a letter in there, the reason I know this, because we found a box of letters that mama and daddy hid. We never knew about them. But I'll guarantee you this, children of God, if when my mama went to the mailbox and there was a letter there, she was yearning for that, to hear about Woodrow Hancock in France that had been wounded on the battlefield. Listen, children of God, and if my next door neighbors, I repeat, if she found daddy's letter, she would say, well, this is to Miss Hancock. I'm going to take it to her door. That would be wonderful. You've done a wonderful thing. But when my mama gets it and opens it, oh, it's from Woodrow. It's my love. Well, I think that's what Solomon was saying. He, my beloved, he hides behind the lattice. He's right. I can just barely see him. I think that's his very thing that the word of the Lord is that gives us glimpses into this, children of God. And where the neighbor would have thought a good thing about a letter from overseas, it would have been dear. This is a love letter to you that's been preserved and it's pure. It's got everything you need, whether you're 1, 2, 3, or all in between.
Amen.
And listen, children of God, whatever sin that we may commit that ain't good, you ain't the first. Remember that. Read it.
Yeah.
And you're going to read about a whole lot of mercy. And you're going to read about a loving God. A God that absolutely loves us and He chastises us because He loves us.
Amen.
The word of the Lord here. Paul is saying, with great desire, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers.
Yeah.
Night and day.
Look,
when I'm on my bike or I'm laying on the porch, I got old now. I've kind of retired. You know? I kind of retired. I just lay there sometimes and say, Lord, bless the meeting.
Yeah.
Lord, bless us. Lord, bless us to remember what the pure words that Jesus talked to Peter.
Yeah.
John 20:21. Peter, feed my lambs.
Yes.
Lord, don't let us forget them pure words as pastors. Don't let us forget, as some seemingly sometimes the crowds get smaller. And sometimes we get discouraged, and we're just people. We may smile all the time, but I'm telling you, this ministry is a responsibility.
Yes.
It's a great, wonderful work, but it's a heavy load sometimes. Lord, remember, Lord, may we remember the pure words that you told Peter that had denied you. And when you said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Lord, don't let us forget about the lambs. The lambs are the one that needs the most help. The lambs sometimes are the ones that hear every Sunday, just a small group. The lambs are the ones that yearn for the care of their mother and father. Lord, don't let us forget that you told Peter first to feed my lambs and then feed my sheep and then feed my sheep. He says 3 times. Lord, let us remember the pure words. May we desire, he says here, remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, young preacher Timothy, being mindful of thy tears that I may be filled with joy. Oh, what a wonderful place to have joy. What a wonderful, Brother Gary, we'll have to talk about this. It's almost as much joy. It's more joy. I'm just too happy. When my little grandbaby says, Papa,
yeah.
That's the greatest joy that I've ever felt on this earth, Papa. When I left Danville, bye, Papa. She's almost 2 years old. What a joy. But we have a God that says joy unsearchable. You can't search it out. But these are pure words, and they're not contaminated.
Exactly.
Lord, may we remember when Jesus said it's finished on the cross. Have we handled this nugget so long that we've
maybe never be
dulled it down to a gravel? It's still gold.
Amen.
May we remember what the
it is finished.
A multitude of the children of God on this earth would have give their life to feel forgiven.
Yeah.
And not caught up in false doctrine and some man has their thumb on them. Lord, may we remember that your words are pure and that when Jesus says in the book of Hebrews that Paul says that when he sat down on the right hand of the Father and is our mediator, they are pure words. Jesus is there for us individually. That gives me a lot of hope and a lot of joy. I've helped raise 3 children. Me and my wife have been married 45 years. So I need more than what the world can give us. Although the world can give us a lot of stuff, and the Lord made this world for our benefit. But all Paul is talking about something different, and David is too. Pure words.
Amen.
Peter?
Acceptable.
Lovest thou me more than these? Oh, preacher, do you love me more than you? Your life? Your family? Feed my lambs.
Amen.
Look.
That's what he's saying.
That's not just worded just to make you fuzzy.
No,
I'm telling you.
No.
It says what it means and it means what it says.
Amen.
Peter, lovest thou me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, you love me?
Yeah.
Lord, you know all things.
Amen.
Feed my sheep.
Yeah.
But he mentioned them lambs first.
Yes,
and his words are pure. Now, we may contradict it. We may try to read into something that we don't need to. We may try to make it fit our, preach to the choir type thing.
Right.
But I'm telling you, these words are pure. I'll bet you, Jimmy, I think about you all the time. And I don't need to be personal, but when I was thinking about Jimmy over in Afghanistan and all you soldiers, I thought, Lord, I prayed, oh Lord, in Psalm chapter 8, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Right.
Lord, all we can do is send him gifts. All we can do is send him a little this. But Lord, you can keep him as an apple of your eye because you're everywhere present and nowhere absent. Oh Lord, our Lord, that's pure words. He's not just, oh Lord, but he's our Lord. Set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. That thou mayest something to the offender. Can't get it all. Pure words of God. Paul has said, I desire to see you, Timothy. You know what? I tell the church at Old Mill that if you want to prepare to meet the Lord, when you step out of church Sunday, that's when you start.
Right.
I'm not preaching perfection. The Lord didn't preach that to us. But I'm telling you this, children of God, His Word is pure.
Amen.
And His Word will save us.
Yes.
Not for heaven.
Right.
But He told Timothy, continue in this, Timothy.
Right.
Keep on doing it until I come. Keep on in the doctrine. Keep on. And it will not only save thee, but people that hear thee. It's a salvation in the written word, not for heaven. Look, now's not the time to snooze off like I used to. And everybody's awake. And I appreciate your attention. I really do. But I used to take one on a preacher. Absolutely. I could be asleep with my eyes open. I've done it. You ever worked third shift? You ever worked double on Saturday? Yes, I've done it. So now's not the time to do that. I didn't tell you that this word will give you eternal life.
Right.
But Paul would tell Timothy in that 11th or 12th, 13th verse, that he would bring the light that's in you to light. He will do that. It will stir up by remembrance if the Lord allows preaching. Timothy, when I call to remembrance. Oh, do you ever have trouble sleeping at night? Saturday night is pretty much for me. Wake up and go to sleep. Wake up and go up. Go back to sleep. I try to remember the good things that the Lord has done for me. How He protected me in that most hazardous environment, working in a tire manufacturing plant, all types of dangers for 30 years. And how I felt His presence on many occasions in dark nights and be covered in carbon black and grease. They called us mold men because we looked like we'd be digging in molds, greasy. The equipment was heavy. The molds were heavy. You know, just a segment from one of them radio truck tire molds weighs about 100 pounds, would crush your foot. And when I look back over 30 years, I have to admit, children of God, David says, if the Lord hadn't been on my side, what would we do?
Amen.
I'm not getting all this correct.
Yeah.
Look it up. I'll get you close.
Yeah.
I used to try to be that. Couldn't do it. Can hardly remember what I ate for breakfast this morning. But if I can get you close,
right,
and if I've completely missed a point, I want to know about it.
Sure.
But I'm telling you, this word, according to Paul, tells Timothy, the pure word say, we can remember a lot of things. Well, we can remember how the Lord has blessed us.
Amen.
He's always blessed us.
Every day.
And He didn't just try to bless you.
No, He didn't.
And He didn't bless you when you knew. When you know, sometimes you know that you've been granted a blessing. That's good.
That's good.
But oh, it's a blessing.
It's a blessing
to be a son of God. It's a blessing, yeah, a blessing to be a child of God.
Hello,
it's a blessing to be in that number. It's a blessing. The pure word said that your name is written in heaven.
Amen.
You know when it was written in heaven? I'm sorry. The pure word says you were written in heaven before the world ever was.
Amen.
The disciple says, listen, Lord, even the demons bow down to us. The Lord said, don't rejoice at that. Can you imagine having that power? Jesus says, don't rejoice at that. These are my words. You rejoice that your name are written in heaven. If they're written in heaven, they can't be unwritten. My point is, these disciples hadn't died yet. Suppose if they run off the wrong track. Supposing they went with another order. Supposing they didn't do this. Their names was already written. Study it out. And you'll see that the pure word of God does not rely on man's devices.
Amen.
To populate His heaven or create this earth and all that we see.
Amen.
And that His Spirit visits the young, the old, the mentally ill, whatever, when He pleases. That's the pure
exactly
word. Now I will tell you this, children of God, that the Lord used preaching to stir our mind up and to bring life and immortality to light.
Amen.
But the Lord don't need preaching to populate heaven.
Nope.
Lord, I hope not. Because if it is, I might as well just close the book now. Listen, children of God. But it tells us something so good to remember. And this is that. Children of God, He says on one occasion that to be kind to all men, I think it says. And then it says, especially to the household of faith. I think I'm close. David says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. David says, I was glad when they said unto me. And David would also say, I'm glad there's a us. And David says, it's one thing I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord and inquire in His temple.
Amen.
That's pure words.
Amen.
To have a house of the Lord that the Lord has planted all these many years ago. And for you to have a desire to be here.
Amen.
We don't believe in the absolute predestination of every act of man. If you do, Brother Gary, I'll just come down now.
Amen.
I know you don't. I wouldn't be here if you did. I'd still say I love you. I probably wouldn't love you as much as I do now. But I'm telling you, we don't believe in that. God is not the author of sin. But He knows all about you. And He's
sure
in your everyday life. Don't deny it.
Absolutely.
He says in Genesis chapter 15, Abraham said, the word of the Lord came to Abraham and said, I'm your exceeding great reward. And He said, I'm your shield. That word of the Lord was not written in a little handbook. That was the Spirit of God telling Abraham. He said, I'm your shield. I'm your exceeding great reward. So to have a church, to be belong to the Lord's church is a great blessing.
Amen.
That everybody don't get to partake of.
Right. It's true.
We've had some new people to come to Old Mill, and some stay and some don't. You just can't. It's a privilege. You're blessed, Peter said. The Lord told Peter, you're blessed, Simon, by Jonah. What you just said, Simon, man didn't teach this to you. What did he say? Thou art the Christ. You know, thou art the Savior, not a wannabe Savior, not a Savior. If you will help Him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, if you believe that today without man's devices, you're blessed.
Amen.
You're blessed.
Amen.
And man can't teach you that. He can tell you about it.
Right.
But the Lord has to be blessed out of thy Simon by Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
So here we have two wonderful old Baptist sisters. You remember?
Yeah.
Oh, they're all through the Bible. I encourage you to look them up. Oh my goodness. Remember Abigail that saved David from a great sin? That's pure words. The Lord sends help. Psalm 12, I think it starts, "Help, Lord." I think that's where it starts. Think about them old Baptist sisters like Hannah. Oh, Hannah.
Yeah.
Rachel, Rebecca. How about Miriam? Dancing around with their tambourine. The horse and the rider has he cast into the sea. Think about them old Baptist sisters. Well, they weren't Baptists. Well, I'll just claim them anyway. I'm real prejudiced when it comes to old Baptists. If I'd had my way, I'd been Church of the Brethren like my mama was. But my grandma seen a little different way. And I'm glad she led my mama into the old Baptists. And I pray that I would live with you and die with you and not do you hurt. That's my prayer. Oh, think about the old sisters. The widow there that I believe it was Elijah or Elisha won. Get up, Elijah. The creek's dried up. Get up. I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. She didn't know it. She didn't know it. You mean the Holy Spirit was... Jimmy, if I'm getting too loud, I know if I'm busting your ears, these people on front ain't got a chance. Look. I've commanded a widow woman to sustain you. The widow woman had no idea.
Right.
When he come walking up, she said, "Look,
right.
I've just got a little flour and a little this, and just enough for me and my son. We're going to eat this and die.
Right.
Fix me one first." What? "I've commanded the ravens to feed thee." We've got a commanding God, not a God wringing his hand. I'm telling you right now, you've got to, you just need to look a little closer.
Amen. Amen.
"I've commanded the widow woman to sustain thee." And you know the story.
Sure.
The son dies and he was restored. The Lord sends help.
Amen.
The words of the Lord are pure words, like tried in a verse 7 times, "O Lord, thou shalt preserve them in this generation forever." Apostle Paul says Lydia was on the... I'm just reminiscing, Brother Gary.
Good, though.
Acts chapter 16, I think it is somewhere there. Who's doing this praying? What is this? He went to the riverside, and there's Lydia,
yeah,
a seller of purple, a lady of wealth in that day.
Sure, absolutely.
Some that she like Rahab in Jericho. Oh, Rahab's one I forgot. How about Rahab?
There you go.
She helped the spies. She shouldn't have been there.
Right.
Well, she's mentioned in Matthew chapter 1. And if you're going to say Rahab don't mean Rahab, you need to look a little closer, because I think it does.
Yes, it does.
Lydia said that prayer want to be made. And then Lydia said, "Look, come home with me." Didn't she?
Yeah, absolutely.
And she took and cared for Paul. Oh, when we think about the sisters in the smile and the work with their hands, taking care of preachers over the years and years, where they had 4,000 or 5,000 people at the associations, and they cooked on wood stoves. And I heard Brother Joe Hams say one time that had somebody on every bed, laying on every flat surface in his house one year down in North Carolina. Because the Lord sends help. Paul's going to tell Tim the pure word of God. The Lord has got help for us in a real way. Paul said, "When I remember, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith." I think that means genuine, Gary. One that that's a faith that they couldn't beat out of the disciples.
Right.
I've known some people these days.
Sure.
I've known some people that fought cancer till their last breath.
Right.
"No, sir. Jesus, you've been good to me. How can you say that?"
Right.
Because the faith is unfeigned.
Amen.
And the pure word says this: that your faith can affect somebody else's exercise of their faith.
Amen.
Now, your faith can't put faith in somebody else. No. That's applied with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But as I've often said, that a little child's muscle is the same muscle he's born with, is the same muscle he'll die with unless something happens. Without movement, it doesn't grow. When the Lord plants faith in our heart, the more we exercise it, the more we believe, not in perfection, but with the intent of our heart. To believe, oh Lord, you're pure in everything you do. Lord, it's nothing. It's nothing you've ever tried that you fail with. Lord, you destroyed nations. Lord, you destroyed a whole city with hell and brimstone just for one family that shouldn't have been there to start with, that didn't want to leave. Lot, the angel said, let's go. He didn't, come on, get him by the hand. The Lord sent the angels, and that was the Lord himself, I think, just for one family. Lord, you are great. You know, I thought about when I looked at Psalm 12, we could go to Psalm 13, 14 through Psalm 20, and it tells all about his greatness. Who shall abide in thy holy city? It just says all about his greatness. Lord, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. You see the recession here? Gary, I'm not a teacher like Gary. I'm just a 1971 high school graduate. As it comes down, Lois, she exercised that faith first.
Sure she did.
Who put it in her? Lois and Eunice had a hard time. I don't know that, but that's my speculation. I'm going to speculate one time here. I'll tell you why I think that they did. Timothy's daddy was a Greek. Right, Gary?
Mm-hmm.
Proud Greek. Oh, this gospel is foolishness to us. Are you kidding me? To the Jews, Paul tells the church at Corinth, it's a stumbling block. To the Greek, it's foolishness. But oh, that couldn't sway Lois and Eunice's faith. No. I can hear it now. I don't care what you say. Just go in the other room. We're going to follow him all the days of our life. I bet you. I can imagine that. Because this affected Timothy. Paul says on another place, that I know that you've known the scriptures from a youth. And then he tells us the pure words, and it says the scriptures made him wise unto his salvation. The scriptures didn't give him eternal life, but it made him wise unto him. Who helped with that? Eunice and Lois. Paul says it right here. That was first. And grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. I've often said this. Gary, maybe I just need to quit saying I often said it. Maybe I just need to say it. My grandfather was named Alfred Bruce Hancock, the meanest Hancock in Danville, Virginia. That's a fact. Mama moved us across the river away from those group of Hancocks for that very reason. We couldn't go see Grandpa unless Daddy went with us. But my Grandma Covey Hancock, I can see her now, a little bitty gray-haired woman, she lived with us before she died. The sweetest spirit. Paul tells, oh, maybe that's in the same thing right here. Yeah, he says in the 7th verse, for God has not given us the spirit of fear.
Amen.
Now, we do fear. Natural people can never say, I'm not afraid of nothing. Well, you were just fooling yourself. But we don't have to have a spirit of fear.
Right.
You ever known people with just a spirit of you probably say, I know you're not feeling that good. Well, they act like it anyway. Sister Joyce is it that way. That's the way she's been to me before she had to move. She had that way about her when she'd come to Old Mill. It's a spirit. It's a spirit that the Lord puts in us. And through faith and through exercise, we can enjoy that. It's a life in it. Gary, I promise you, I'm bringing this to a close just as quick. I promise you. There's a life in this. Not eternal life. But these, in John chapter 20, but these things are written, well, it falls right into it, Gary.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Then he says this. But these things were written. Oh, this is good. This falls right into it. And I hadn't even think about it.
Yeah.
That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ.
Amen.
The Son of God. And that believing, you might have life through His name.
Amen.
He's not talking about heaven there. He's talking about a contentment and a joy of an assurance of someone greater than anything you've ever heard. And not only have you heard it, you've believed it through your life. Is that not a fact?
It's the truth. Amen.
There's a life in it.
Amen.
When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee and which dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded that in thee also. Acts chapter 11 said they were called Christians first at Antioch. We want to hang that title on us. And if we believe in Jesus, we are Christians by name. But that's a walk. In 71, I was ready to be called up to go to Vietnam. I didn't have to go. So as close as I was to being a soldier, I'm not a soldier. Because I didn't put on the uniform. I didn't fight. I didn't go. My buddies did. Some come back and some didn't. I can't say that I was a soldier. Just because I joined the Old Baptist Church don't make me a Christian. It's a walk. It's a life. Not a perfection. But the joy. And we can learn about it as Paul is telling Timothy here. That unfeigned faith.
Right.
It's good enough to live with. It's good enough to die with. It's got everything for the young, for the old, and all in between. Wherefore, I put in remembrance that I stir up the gift of God which is in thee. I'm back in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. By putting on of my hands. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What does that mean? To me, that means that when we're having a day that no one understands but the Lord, we're able to go on and have our day the best that we can. Push on. Ask the Lord to help us. Ask the Lord to lead us. Ask the Lord to guide us. And you are reigning and ruling when that happens.
Amen.
Because the devil, he will set a snare for us. Peter mentions him. He walks to and fro. He's mentioned in Job. Which doest thou, Satan? He's walking in up and down the earth. And you know what? He don't ever get tired. Because the condemnation that was put on us in Genesis chapter 3 of the bruising of the heel will never end until the Lord. The Apostle Paul said the same Spirit that quickened you from the dead, the same Spirit would quicken these mortal bodies. That's the resurrection day. He's quickened you. That spirit never died. He's coming back for this. These molecules, whatever is left, and they're going to be made alive too. Because it's His body. The same spirit. Matthew 5, 25, 26. Marvel not those that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God. It's no secret. These are pure words. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me of His prisoner. Very familiar territory. Just stick with me one or two more minutes. You've been so kind, and I'm so glad to see you. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now I want to end with these next verses that you've heard over and over. Give me your attention for one second.
Yeah.
This is basic, fundamental, pure words from God for His gospel church.
Amen.
Who hath, past tense, saved us and called us.
Right.
The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, 28 didn't misword it. He said, all things work together for them that love God, for them who are the called according to His purpose. It doesn't matter to me if you think you one day woke up and said, Lord, I think I'll take you today. You're wrong. The Lord sought you out. If you called out the Lord, you already had the Spirit in you. You might not understand it. You're not going to cry, Abba Father, if you don't know who your Father is.
Amen. Right.
Hath saved us. The saving to come first.
Amen.
Then the calling.
Amen.
It's not pure words. When the man comes, he calls and then the saving. That's just wrong. According to the scriptures. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling.
Right.
There's not a man on this earth that's holy. Now, what's in us is holy. And the Lord may call us holy. People may call us holy, but because we try to act in the way we live, and we should do these things. But Paul is not talking about a manly call here.
No.
He's talking about a call from the God of heaven.
Amen.
With His Spirit. Calls you who hath saved us and called us with the holy calling. Because see, when the Lord calls you, He sees you undone to start with.
Amen.
When you were unlovable, He loved you. He didn't call just the good ones. Look at Psalm 53 and Psalm 14. God looked down through time and see who would call on Him, I think it says. We're all gone astray.
Right. No.
Saved us and called us with the holy calling. That's your pure words. And everyone that's born of the Spirit is just as holy if you was the only one ever created on this earth. Not according to our works.
Right.
These are pure words. These are not contaminated by man and religious devices. Have we heard them too much? Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace.
Right.
Which was given us in Christ Jesus. Before the world began. Sorry. That's pure words.
Amen.
You weren't involved in it. I don't want to make you mad, and I love you. And if you don't agree, I'll let you buy me supper if we go out and eat. But I'm telling you, the Lord done it because of His purpose. He made you accepted in the beloved according to His purpose. That's the pure words. And when the Lord plants that into the heart of an individual, they're not the same. They may not can figure it out. They may say, why am I loving what I used to hate? Pure words. Which was the whole purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Who hath abolished death.
Right.
We had an accident in the county where I lived last week. One man was killed. I don't know about the woman. There was on a 2-lane road. They run head on together. A good man that I know, good man, goes with a different order, which is, I don't love him no less. You think we think old Baptists think we got it all figured out? No. Hey, look, I'm an old Baptist and I'm proud of it. I'm not looking for anything else. But I'm telling you, he's a good man. He was the first on the scene. He looked in, terrible scene. This man, no hope for him. The emergency people get there. He calls my wife, tells her about the situation. The first word he said was, I hope he was ready. Brother, you need to get a little deeper. You need to get a little deeper than that. Thus, we should prepare to meet the Lord. We should get up in the morning ready to serve Him the best that we can. We should be better servants. You can't make yourself pure enough to meet God. I'm telling you, you just can't do it.
No.
Can't do it. And if you could, you can't keep yourself pure.
Right.
Manifested by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ.
See you,
Jesus says in John 14, if I go away and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That's a better story.
Sure.
That where I am, you may be also. I wouldn't come to the scene and say, I hope you made it. I'm going to say, listen, there's a God in heaven that was here this instant. But He promised He'd come back for His own. He owned you. He's not going to send the angels. He's coming Himself. Oh, that song that we sing, some man wrote it. A lot of times if we preach what we sing, y'all wouldn't have us. But they're good songs. Saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, But according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, where no contamination can reach, no sin can reach, before the world began. But are now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. That means He conquered death. That doesn't mean we're not going to die. That doesn't mean that your body's not going to naturally suffer. But it means that He's conquered the pain of it. He'll be there with you. I believe that because I've seen it so many times, I can't deny it in the people of God's faces. But now made manifest by the appearing of Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Last words. And brought life and immortality through the gospel. Just one word.
It's a lot.
It's just one word. What would one word mean? What would one word? It's just a word to help us.
Yeah.
You know, I said that because we've said it before. These are pure words.
Yeah.
Paul says, who has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
Amen.
Folks, you'll ask me, well, if y'all don't believe the gospel saves sinners, what's it for? It's to bring it to light.
Amen.
The gospel enlightens what's already in you. That's what the gospel does.
Amen.
And that's pure word. You've been so kind. I've said this before. I'll say it again 3 or 4 times. I'll dream about you when I get home because you've been so kind. I love you. May the Lord bless you and keep you hedged about on your journeys home. May your young men and women get stronger. May you get the perfect job you've ever wanted. May your young mamas and daddies keep pushing on and believing. We got the Word and read it and study it and follow Him.
Right.
And us old folks can maybe act a little better. That ain't no guarantee. But we could try. But I do love you. May the Lord bless you is my
Amen.
Prayer.
Amen. We're going to sing a rest of 154. We'll sing it all the way through. Amazing Grace. One 154.